Little bit of the Rolling Stones. We thought that would be appropriate for you this morning because we are on what? Daylight savings time. Yes, we are. Did you set your clocks ahead? Like in spring forward? You should have. Well, good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, March the 15th. And we got here an hour sooner, did we not? Because of daylight savings time. In a few minutes, Luke Wake will join us. He's from the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're going to talk about a court victory for landlords. For landlords, you know, those people you come to hate all the time? A victory for landlords in the eviction ban imposed by the Center for Disease Control. Can't wait to talk with him, and he'll be here shortly. Also, it's been 54 days and counting now. President Biden has yet to hold a news conference. Why not? What is going on? We're going to talk about that. And also the ongoing southern border crisis, which seems to be getting worse every day. We'll talk about that with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi. And you know, we have the college basketball tournament, but did you know that we also have the second annual Liberal Hack Tournament coming up? The second annual Liberal Hack Tournament. I'm going to give you the seedings. The seedings have been announced. And we're going to preview the favorites. This will be quite a tournament, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10. Well, on Friday, we gave you the top 10 states where you will live the longest. It is turnabout time. We will give you the top 10 states where you will live the shortest. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay, I strongly recommend Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. You can call them at 727-733-3773. Well, lots of things going on. This thing at the border probably gets my goat more than just about anything else, because there is a simple solution, and that is to complete the wall. And Donald Trump got elected on the issue of building a border wall. People wanted and understood the need. I mean, you're going to have chaos, are you not? If you allow people to just pour over the border in open stretches, does them no good? It does the people that live as citizens around that area, it does them no good. Everything has gone to hell in a handbasket. What about the people that are patiently waiting to come in here legally? I've said this before. I'm actually from Canada, and I came over with my parents, and my dad and mother had to have a sponsor. They had to have a sponsor in the United States for them to come down and stay. And why? Because the sponsor was responsible for them. If my father and mother came down and weren't paying their bills or did something wrong, the sponsor could be held liable and accountable. That's the way it used to work. Now, it's Katie bar the door. And what is now in Mexico, by the way, they're saying Biden promised us. Mexico continues to struggle with the rising number of migrants that have been turned away at the U.S. southern border, with many of them claiming that they were, quote, promised, unquote, by Biden that they could enter the country. They actually think he's giving them a green light, you know? And by the way, where do they get all those Biden T-shirts? Did you see those, Ed? All those T-shirts that these people are wearing on the way in?
You know, we were talking about this. Not only the T-shirts.
Good Lord.
And by the way, not just immigrants are coming across the border, but the drugs are starting to flow back because nobody's keeping an eye on that.
That's another thing.
But have you seen the photos of these kids and families that are coming across? They've got new shoes. They've got new clothes. I saw a guy with a gold watch in one of the photos.
They got their phones?
Yeah, phones. Everything.
Everything.
Got it going on.
I'll tell you what.
I'm thinking about jumping down there and crossing the border.
I think so. You get all out, get a new outfit, get a new phone, new pair of shoes. It's weird, isn't it? This is a strange, strange situation. And journalists are now going down there. Even the Biden administration itself is admitting that there is trouble down there. They won't use the word chaos. They won't use the word crisis. You know, they will tone it down, but they know. They know. Even Biden, they woke him up probably in the middle of the day and told him that, you know, we really do have an issue on our southern border. So I think even Biden understands. Now, a lot of journalists are flocking down there. Texas in particular is where apparently the crisis is most severe. There are migrant camps all over the place. You know, and that's another thing. I guess they want to go to the camps because they know if they get into the camps, they'll be taken care of. I wonder if some of them just take off, you know, like they come across the border. I don't want no stinking camp, and, you know, they keep going.
Is that part of catch and release, they call it, or whatever?
I don't know what it
but,
is.
Yeah, what's wrong with turning them around and sending them back? Because if they got all these new clothes and stuff on, where they're coming from can't be that bad.
No.
You know?
Here's the thing. If you don't have control of your borders, you can't implement anything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The first thing you got to do is you got to control the border. Now, I say you build the complete defense along with other things, and now we'll have some sort of order. Now we can take a look at how we can help these people or situate them, you know, better. But you can't do it when you just allow people to antelope in all over the place. It frays everybody's nerves. It's dangerous. It's not good for the people that come in. Certainly not good for the kids that are coming in, especially those that have no parents.
Why does it always have to be Mexicans that are coming? It could be anybody. It could be people that are not very nice with the USA, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
You know.
It's a perfect opportunity. And a lot of people do talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on through from Mexico. You don't have to worry about getting on a plane.
No.
You can walk it. Walk in. Anyway.
Paul's upset now.
I almost knocked my light out. I'm very upset about this. Oh, well. We will talk about that a little bit further in the show. But we're going to concentrate. You know, these landlords, they get a bad rap, don't they? Landlord, as soon as you hear the term landlord, you think nasty thoughts.
Well, they want that darn rent all the
time.
There
you go. Damn it. Hollywood portrays landlords usually as mean, stupid, and everything bad.
Well, it could be my ex-wife's one.
Really? Oh, there you go. Well, no wonder you feel that way. Anyway, we're going to talk about that and the Center for Disease Control and a victory for landlords.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. March the 15th already. Gee, we are marching through this year quickly. Well, you know how landlords are always treated. When I used to watch, it shows you how old I am, Abbott and Costello had a television show for a while. And when I was a kid, and there was this guy that was their landlord, and he was portrayed as a real idiot. And they always get a bad rap. Well, a federal judge has ruled that the Center for Disease Control has overstepped its bounds when it issued a nationwide eviction ban. You know, during this virus situation, we were going to go easy on a lot of these renters. But they wanted to make a law out of it. Well, this judge says not so fast. So we have Luke Wake. He is an attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation, which were involved in this. And Luke, welcome to Freedom Works. So this is a victory for landlords. They actually get to collect some rent, huh?
It is a victory for landlords and for the rule of law more broadly. Thank you for having me this morning.
Of course, our pleasure. Go ahead. Uh-huh. So are we... is this going... Now, this occurred in Ohio. This is a decision in... Skyworks versus the Centers for Disease Control, and I think it was last Wednesday, and it says that in Akron, this allows evictions to resume. It restores the landlord's rights to remove tenants who do not honor their lease obligation. Now, you know doggone well that people always take advantage. And landlords, as we said, you know, they're always portrayed as, you know, standing there at the door waiting for their money. So I'm kind of glad to see this. What's going on with it?
Well, look, federal agencies are in charge of enforcing the law, but they don't get to write the law. At least that's what the Constitution says. Congress writes the law, and you can't just have, you know, an agency like CDC or EPA or DOL. You name the alphabet soup agency. They don't get to make the law. But that's what they effectively tried doing here. Now, if you recall, at the outset of the pandemic last year, gosh, it was a year ago now, basically, when we began to see these governors, you know, shutting down the economy as well, you know, Governor DeSantis in Florida and a number of other governors imposed eviction moratorium. But they did that under emergency orders under their state law. Some of them were overstepping even to doing that, but that's a whole different story. But it was being done, a lot of them, at the state level. And Congress passed something with the CARES Act that imposed some moratorium on certain like, you know, properties that were financed with through federal loans and things like that. But that was all done either by the governors or by Congress itself. But that Congress moratorium and the CARES Act expired in July. And so after that happened, then you had President Trump at the time issue this emergency or this executive order and directed CDC to go out and find some way to, you know, impose another moratorium, despite the fact that the congressional moratorium had expired. And they turned around in very short order, pronounced this quote unquote order, and basically threatened landlords with criminal prosecution and, you know, $100,000 penalties if they began to evict non-paying tenants. All the tenant had to do was sign this piece of paper saying that they were, you know, looking for relief, that they were having, you know, economic hardships. Well, there's a couple of things that they had to be able to check off, but they were handing these things out like handy down at legal aid and places like that. And so you had all of these people who weren't paying rent, and, you know, granted, a lot of people were in difficult positions, but you know what? If Congress wanted to, you know, enact a law like that, well, you could debate it in Congress, and people would, you know, it would be done in an open, transparent, you know, way where everyone would, you know, our system, our representatives would hash this out, and guess what? They're held accountable at the end of the day if they make decisions we don't like. But the bureaucrats of these agencies, they're not held accountable, you know. And unfortunately, CDC has taken this position that they can do anything that they think is necessary to combat contagious disease. So what they were doing with an eviction moratorium, if they are correct in saying that they can do this, their argument is basically that they can do anything else that they think is necessary. And as we pointed out in this lawsuit, if CDC is correct about that, well, they could do anything that Governor Newsom out here in California or Cuomo in New York, any of these governors, they could do anything and more as long as they say it's necessary during however long this pandemic goes.
Yes, indeed. I mean, this is so ridiculous. And that's what the judge said. His name is Philip Calabrese, and he said that the CDC lacked the authority to do it. And I would say, yes, indeed, they should lack the authority. I mean, an agency accountable to nobody is making a law that can stop people from taking rent from their tenants?
Yeah.
What is going on around here? This is crazy. I mean, you know,
well, they've interfered with...
You know, most people understand, and it's very easy to sympathize. You know, it's very easy to sympathize with the people that have to pay the rent right now. But most landlords see that, and they don't want to go through throwing out somebody, evicting somebody, only to have to find somebody else to bring in. They want to keep the. I mean, common sense says they want to keep their tenants. They want to continue to have them there. It's quite frankly, it's easier on them, right?
Oh, absolutely. The landlords I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of them through the course of this pandemic, you know, they say, you know, I want to work with people, and they try to work with people. But look, I've also talked to people, landlords who, you know, are renting out, a house, and that's how they're depending on that to pay their kids, college. The kids in college, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. They're depending on, this place they're renting out to, you know, for their retirement income because they're no longer working. Or I talked to one woman in Louisiana. She said she couldn't afford her prescription medication because she had a non-paying tenant she couldn't evict. So, I mean, people don't necessarily realize, but, you know, a large number of the landlords in this country are just, you know, individuals who happen to have an investment property. And they're really having to shoulder the burden here, which is unfair. But, you know, getting back to, you know, this question about whether or not the CDC has authority. And by the way, CDC's position when we win this decision is, well, that only applies to the specific plaintiffs in this lawsuit. So their position is that everyone under the sun has to sue them before we can get nationwide relief for landlords, which is absurd. But their position here is that they can, again, do anything they think is necessary. That's not how we interpret statutes. We interpret statutes, first of all, we give them the plain meaning of what the Congress actually said. And if there's ambiguity in it, you don't interpret it in a way that gives an agency a blank check, because that causes constitutional problems, just in the same way as there's constitutional problems with saying a governor can do with it anything he wants. The legislature or Congress can't just write a blank check and say, go write the law, because the Constitution vests the lawmaking power in Congress or in the state legislature. And if you write that blank check, you are giving away the legislative power to someone who's unaccountable.
Right. We're talking with Luke Wake. He is an attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation. We're talking about a victory for landlords, at least in Ohio. Luke, this decision by the Ohio judge, though, does not mean that it's a nationwide victory. In fact, I believe you've got a case still going on somewhere in Texas, right, about a similar situation. So I guess right now it's just kind of a local victory. Is that correct?
Well, that's, you know, I just mentioned a moment ago, you know, the government's position is that victory only applies with regard to our plaintiffs in Ohio. Now, our view is that it has to apply at the very least, you know, within the Northern District of Ohio, so for all landlords there. But actually, we think the better view is it applies nationwide because right. If you read the judge's decision, he says, I've set aside, he's vacated, basically struck down CDC's order, which we think means it's no longer in place. But yeah, before you go out and run and, you know, evict your tenant, I'd say talk to your local landlord, you know, your local eviction attorney, because, you know, there's some nuances here. And again, you know, the government's position is what it is. But we are also litigating, that's correct, a case out of, it's in the Fifth Circuit, which does cover Texas, but the case is actually out of Louisiana. So there's a number of these lawsuits going on across the country. And The order, the eviction moratorium is set to expire on the 31st of March. Now, CDC extended it once before. I was guessing, you know, 2 weeks ago that they were going to extend it again. But who knows? Maybe after this victory, maybe they see the writing on the wall and they won't extend it further. If they do, we're going to continue to fight it on behalf of these landlords.
Though. Right, right. Of course, you don't have any statistics on how many, you know, people are having issues with landlords. I would suspect most people are paying the bills. And some that are, you know, maybe losing their jobs because of the pandemic. Although it seems like we are coming back from all of that. So I would say the case is being made for an even stronger, because we are on the rebound, that we don't need these kinds of, bans anymore. You know, that we can get back, let's get back to normal, right?
I think we would all like to get back to normal. And so we're certainly hoping. But, you know, we were, you know, the judge asked the government attorney during our hearing about 2 weeks ago, you know, is CDC going to extend this out further at the end of March? And she said, I can't tell you that right now. We're evaluating the situation. You know, I think, you know, truthfully, it's been sort of a fly-by-night operation for them. They extended it. Originally, they said, well, we need this moratorium to go. Come into effect because, you know, we're coming into the fall, into the colder time of the year, and that's, you know, flu season, and people are cold. We don't want, you know, to worry about people going to homeless shelters during COVID. But they had an expiration date for December 31st, which meant it ended right, theoretically, it was going to end right in the middle of the coldest time of the year, right? And so they said, okay, well, we're going to extend this out again through March 31st. But again, they give us no criteria, nothing sort of guiding, you know, objectively their decision as to whether to extend it further. It's all kind of whether they feel like it. And that really underscores, you know, one of our arguments, actually, is that this whole thing has been arbitrary, their entire approach. I mean, they didn't even bother to, you know, do, usually when a federal agency is going to impose a rule on the regulated community, they're required to actually go through something called notice and comment, which means give the public, who's actually going to have to, you know, deal with the regulation, an opportunity to have a say. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that here. And it's such a one-sided approach. All they listened to was, you know, the people that they were interested in listening to. They never stopped to think about the impact to small landlords. They never stopped to think about whether it might actually cause landlords to pull out of the rental market, so that you know, the impact that would actually have on housing supply, or the possibility. And I think this is true. A lot of landlords have ended up, you know, raising, you know, the deposits that they're expecting out of people, or, you know, being more strict with their credits, checks on tenants. And so there's a lot of adverse impacts on, you know, low income people who are in need of housing that they didn't even stop to think about. So again, it's all fly by night.
Indeed. You know, the Center for Disease Control used to be kind of held in high regard, but let's be honest, since that virus onset, they've kind of gotten a black eye for some of the things that they have said or done. It seems like it's not just in the eviction place. They're kind of running around sometimes like they're not sure themselves what's correct, you know, overall.
Well, it's seemed, you know, I don't know all of their workings there. I can say with regard to this rule, it definitely seemed like it was a results-oriented thing. I mean, I think anytime an agency becomes so front and center in the national, you know, attention and seems to be, you know, encroaching on what we think of, you know, political issues, it does raise eyebrows. But I mean, this is, you know, systemic of a larger problem in this country. Of, you know, we are ruled to a larger extent than I think people realize by, you know, faceless bureaucrats at, you know, EPA, Department of Labor, you know, all of these different alphabet soup agencies. You know, come out with rules and rules and rules year after year, and they pile up, and a lot of times, you know, unless you're, you know, a lawyer or a lobbyist, you're not really paying attention to it until you get a government inspector or someone showing up or sending you an Instagram letter saying, you know, you're doing something wrong, or, you know, maybe looking at a lawsuit or an enforcement action or something, and then, you know, unfortunately, then it's too late. Then you're in trouble. So it's really hard to be 100% compliant with the law all the time, especially when it's changing with these, you know, agencies just making new rules.
Well, I'm glad the Pacific Legal Foundation is around to help stop some of this stuff. And Luke, it was a real pleasure talking with you this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure. Anytime.
All right, sir. Luke Wake, Pacific Legal Foundation. All right, we're going to take our break when we come back. When is Biden going to hold a press? I can't wait for him to take a couple of questions, tough questions from the press. We're going to talk about that and a few other things with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Delighted to be here. We're here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. But you can listen to us on podcast if you prefer. Maybe you don't want to get up, especially now that we got daylight savings time. You want to, you know, catch a few extra winks. Thanks to Big Ed. You can listen to us anytime. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button. Well, good old Joe Hyden-Biden. I kind of like that. Hyden-Biden, after more than 50 days in office, he has yet to hold a solo news conference. It's going to be like the Super Bowl audience, Ed. When he announces he will have an open-to-the-press news conference, we're going to have so many people watching just to see if he can make it.
What would come first, the Cleveland Browns winning a championship or Biden holding a press conference?
Correct. I think the Browns have a better shot, but yeah. You know, that's just me. So
More interesting, too.
I think so. Really would be. So we've got the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, I know how you feel about Joe Biden, but I'm beginning to worry that he'll never hold a press conference because he's not sure what he would say. You know, he's got to read it off of a teleprompter, and there's no way that he can stand there and do a free-for-all. What do you think?
Paul, the guy can't talk for 5 minutes, let alone people asking him questions. You know, this is the most invisible president this country has ever had.
Indeed. I thought Calvin Coolidge was that way, but I think that Biden is number one now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody that the guy doesn't show his face for nothing. It was even like his 20-minute thing the other day. He was like a zombie standing up there talking. And if there was somebody there asking him a question, I think he would have fainted.
Now,
if there was nobody there to tell him the answer.
Now, his press secretary, Jen Psaki, says that he has been directing his energy and focus into getting Americans through the pandemic. I think he's been directing his energy and focus into getting the hell out of bed and over to his porch.
No, there's no question about that, Paul. And, you know, it's amazing we don't hear from the guy at all. But from what I'm hearing, he's getting ready to propose the biggest tax hike since 1993, federal taxes.
Well, he seems to be in the pocket of the progressives. And now we're going to, you know, we've already spent close to $2 trillion. So he's now going to tax what? He's probably going to announce that he's taxing the upper X percent. They're never going to, first of all, that's not going to do anything. It's going to slow business down. You know, it's going to slow business down.
Well, you know, now they're talking another $2 trillion to get tasked for infrastructure, which will create jobs. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When they're rebuilding infrastructure, does that produce any revenue?
When you're building infrastructure, does it produce any revenue? I don't think exactly that it does. In fact, I'm always worried that the federal government is even involved in it. I'd rather see the states involved in directing it, but go ahead.
Exactly, Paul. They think they're going to have all these jobs because, you know, he got rid of all the union jobs. I was arguing with a union guy yesterday. He said, oh, well, you know, he got rid of these union jobs, but because of this Green New Deal and going green, they're going to produce all kinds of jobs.
Oh,
and
right.
That reminds me of a company called Solyndra.
Yeah, exactly.
You remember that
one? I do. Obama went down there and had a big to-do and a press, you know, a big visual on the thing. Yeah, how'd that one work out? Whatever the hell happened to them?
Exactly, Paul. These people have no clue of what's going on in the White House. And I'll tell you what, man. I don't know how long this country is going to withstand it, Paul.
Yeah.
I really don't. It's got me nervous, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I think the American people need to start getting their heads together here and realize what we've got to do to save this country. And I think getting rid of the Democrat Party has got to be the first one, believe me, because they're destroying everything. Everything they touch, Paul.
I think that the voters will turn on them. I really do. And I'm worried, too, about we got more West Coast violence, don't we, in Seattle and Portland. Attacking and demonstrating for, I don't know, all kinds of, it would seem to me, rather innocuous reasons.
And didn't they torch a federal building this weekend?
Yeah, in Portland, they're going after the federal building again. That poor federal building.
Isn't that considered insurrection?
You would think. But the media does see this. The media makes a difference, even though it's a federal building and even though they're throwing things through the window. In fact, they're even more violent around there. That doesn't count because these are not conservatives that are doing it. These are liberals. You got to realize,
exactly,
Andrew, the rules are different for liberals. You know that.
Paul, I realize that, but how far is the media going to go to help destroy this country? Don't these people have any clue what's going on and what they are doing? Are they American or what?
I'm beginning to wonder, quite frankly, if they are or not. It scares me. It scares me the direction. I mean, I was worried that if Biden came in, you know, we would slowly move closer and closer and closer to a social. We have fallen off the cliff towards socialism. It's just, you know, it's one thing after another. And who's paying for this? I mean,
they're just printing money, Paul.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Just printing money. Our dollar is getting devalued every day.
Yes. And like you said,
every day.
And you were right about the gas prices. Here in Florida, where we have relatively low gas prices, we're at, what, $2.89, $2.90 now, aren't we?
That's right. That's
right. I mean,
right.
Come on,
I'm telling
man.
You, by July, you will see $4 a gallon.
Yeah.
Now, if this isn't enough to make the people go bananas, I mean, they're going to use their $1,400 that's probably worth about $500 in today's market,
mm-hmm,
with the price of gas and everything, and they're going to go through that just to fill up their gas tank.
Yes, I'm afraid. Go ahead.
And what are they going to do? I don't understand. Where are all these kids coming from at the border?
That's another thing.
Parents,
yeah.
I mean, when I was 5 years old, I never thought of taking a 2,000-mile hike.
And I guess when they say kids, one thinks of, I guess it's a visual that, I guess anybody that's under 18 is a kid, right? Is that the way they do it?
That's what we would consider, right. But how many MS-13s are kids? Huh?
Yeah. Don't you think eventually that despite Biden and despite the liberals, they're going to have to understand that they're going to lose all kinds of support among a lot of different groups if they don't close the border up?
Well, Paul, they're losing all kinds of support as it is. I believe I'm hoping they are.
Yeah.
But what's going on is just totally, totally ridiculous here. They're destroying this country. I don't know what else to say.
So Donald Trump, because he's not been on Twitter, we don't hear from him as much. However, he has popped up from time to time. And he's still working with, and he will make endorsements, et cetera, for certain Republicans. Do you think he's going to be kind of on the rebound? Will we hear more about him as we approach the off-year election? What do you think?
The problem with it is they took everything away from him but his cell phone. I'm surprised they haven't taken that away from him.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't get on social media. I mean, where's the guy going to do? Skywrite with an airplane?
I don't know. I imagine he could come on some of the talk shows if he said, you know, I'd like to come on. And I wonder if CNN or MSNBC would allow him to come on and do an interview. I would think that they would like to because of the ratings they would get.
I would like to see him go on The View.
Now, that would be something, wouldn't it? Sitting there with those
women?
How long do you think it would take before one of the women tries to take a poke at him physically? How long would it take? About five minutes?
Not long.
No.
Not even that long. The minute he walks on the stage.
I think you're right.
The minute he would walk on the stage, Paul. Yeah, I mean, the American people better realize they need to open their eyes to see what's going on. I honestly can't believe the American people are being so complacent, Paul.
Yeah. Now, another...
They really are.
Another two or three women have come forward since you and I last spoke with your buddy Andrew Cuomo up in New York. He still says he's not going to resign. And you do say that you don't think he's going to hold on.
Go ahead. Listen, if I was him, honestly, I wouldn't resign either with the women's accusations.
Okay.
Now, with the 15,000 people dead, that might be another story. But you know what? They're not playing on
that.
No,
they're not.
And you know what else? I do not trust what these women say today. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
They are not accountable. They can blame a man and say he did this and he did that. And you know what? The poor man goes to jail while the lying woman gets away with it. And then even when she admits that she lied, nothing happens to him.
Yeah. No, I think there's some truth to that. We tend to... whenever you hear a story about some guy doing this or that to a woman, we tend to immediately, you know, honestly, we tend to immediately think that it's probably true. You know, most people, not all, but most people think immediately that it's. And even with Cuomo, you're right. I mean, if you're a governor and you do shake hands and you do come in contact with a lot of people, there is something to be said for allowing them, you know, even Biden was, you know, holding women's shoulders and kissing them on the forehead.
Well, he was holding little girls' shoulders. There's a difference
yes,
there.
Oh, okay, maybe there was.
There's a difference.
These
aren't women.
Okay, so am I hearing you defend Cuomo but not Biden in this whole thing?
Listen.
What?
I haven't heard a little kid accuse Biden yet. I heard everybody else accuse him. I have heard women, going after Cuomo. And I will not believe a word they say without proof. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I mean, that's just how I feel about this women's movement and what's going on. I don't believe a word they're saying.
Well, you can't.
They'll go after a man just to destroy him, Paul.
Well, some do now. Not all of them. You can't just, that's a broad brush. You know that.
I understand, but I've seen it happen many, many, many times, Paul.
Sure.
Like I say, go after him for the 15,000.
No, deaths. I agree with
that's
you.
That's one thing. But for the women, prove it to me. Prove it to me. Yeah. I want the proof.
Yeah.
Look at Beasley Ford. Come on. She got away. Everybody knows that she lied. What happened to her? She wrote a book.
I'm trying to remember who she is.
She's the one that was going after Kavanaugh.
Oh, that lady. Yes.
Beasley Ford.
Oh, she took total advantage. She couldn't even remember where the whole thing took place. That thing was so incredibly stupid. Remember that? She couldn't point out where the place was.
And like I said, nothing happened to her. They know she was lying through her teeth. Nothing happened, Paul.
Yeah.
She wrote a book, made millions.
Indeed. Indeed.
Okay, right, I believe that is totally, totally wrong. They do not have a right to sit there and go after a man because they're a woman.
Yeah.
Period. If they got proof, that's one thing. I mean, what's her name had proof on her dress there, the one with Clinton?
I guess she did.
Remember?
Yes, I kind of remember.
She had proof because they took the dress and froze it for a couple of years.
Yeah, I guess they did.
But they had proof.
Right.
They had proof. Mm-hmm. Without proof, I don't believe one of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you make a good point, and I think you're right. The more important issue with Cuomo is indeed his handling of the nursing home scandal. And
exactly. And if I was him right at the beginning, I would have said, hey, look, when this first came out, nobody knew nothing about it. Everybody was jumping, making decisions. I thought I made the right one. I'm sorry. I made the wrong one.
Yes.
Whatever happens from there, that's, you know, what goes on. But as far as the women go, I don't believe one of them.
Okay. There you go. There you have it from the proprietor of the barber pole himself. Andrew, thank you so much, my friend. And
all right, Paul.
We will talk again tomorrow, God willing.
We'll see if we get a tax raise between now and tomorrow morning.
Oh, I know. That's the other thing. They're not waiting. They're going for the jugular.
Oh, that's good. And I hope the American people are very happy, because I can't say they're getting what they deserve, because I still say there was fraud in the election. So
yeah.
I can't blame the American people for this one, but I do blame Washington.
Are they still, by the way, speaking about all of that, is the pillow guy still, is that, I haven't heard much about that court case. Have you heard anything?
They'll try and keep that hush-hush.
You think so?
Because all the proof that will come out as far as the fraud goes, you think they're going to publicize it?
Well, I think he's getting his day in court. He has a right to call witnesses. And I'm hoping that he will call some of these people, and they will be there, and, you know, and a jury of his peers will get to hear it. I'm hoping.
They'll get to hear it, but we won't get to hear it. They'll block it out of the news. They'll black it out.
Okay. Wow. All right, my friend. We will talk tomorrow.
All right,
buddy.
You got it, buddy.
Thank you. Andrew, the Master Barber. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, I can't wait. The second annual Liberal Hack Tournament.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Return the sender. Return the sender.
Hey, we're back for the final segment today of Freedom Works. And Ed, you are not a big college basketball fan, but one of the big days in college basketball occurred yesterday evening, about 6 o'clock, when they made the announcement of the teams that will be involved in the NCAA College Basketball Tournament. Now, do you watch any of those things?
No.
Well, that's a very succinct answer. You don't even bother watching any of it. You have no interest in college basketball.
No.
Is it because you were hit by a college basketball when you were young that you don't like to watch college basketball?
No, I'm not into basketball. I like to play it, but I just don't, you know, and it's teams
doesn't excite
I know
you?
It's time teams that I know nothing about.
Okay.
You know?
Well, this is a tournament you might be more interested in. Did you know that there is a liberal hack tournament?
What are they hacking?
Well, one of Twitter's most highly anticipated events of the year is now underway as some of the biggest media stars compete for the title of greatest hack. greatest hack. Now, it's a podcast, The Ruthless Podcast, which, by the way, was announced on a special Sunday program, P-R-O-G-R-U-M, program, named The Competitors. And this is the second annual Liberal Hack Tournament. It's a contest pitting members of the mainstream media against each other in the ultimate fight to become the supreme hack. So this is quite an interesting and important event. Last year, CNN media guru Brian Stelter was the tournament champion, okay? He is back to defend his crown, but they have switched divisions. He was in the Way Too Online division last year. Now he's in the fake news division, okay? Mm. There are four divisions. Replacing him as the number one seed in the Way Too Online division is New York Times reporter Taylor Lorenz, who was not even eligible. You know, she's one of those sleepers. She came along. In the meantime, Washington Post columnist Jennifer Rubin, who was defeated by Stelter in the championship liberal hack game, is the number one seed in the liberal activist division. That's out of Seattle. And also, former ABC News political commentator Matthew Dowd is the number one seed among the establishment hacks. And those establishment hacks come out of Washington. Specifically, he comes out of Georgetown. Now, each matchup will compete in Twitter polls shared by Ruthless co-host Comfortably Smug. That's the name of the co-host. Hmm. And the general public will vote for their favorite hacks. I think this is very good. Here's some of the people competing. Jake Tapper, Chris Cuomo, Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, Jim Acosta, John Harwood, April Ryan, Anna Navarro, Daniel Dale. There's all kinds. Also, MSNBC and NBC, they have a huge representation. Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, Nicole Wallace, Joe Scarborough. Now, I think Joe Scarborough's a sleeper. I think Joe has a shot at the championship. He comes out with a lot of outrageous things. Chuck Todd, Andrea Mitchell, Katie Tour. Boy, there's a lot of players. Could be very interesting. All right. So one other thing we're worried about these days, because of all of the influx of money into the coffers of different groups, is inflation. Inflation and skittish investors have seesawed between celebration about the U.S. economic recovery, and then they're into the nail biting over a possible price spiral. Now, we're starting to see that in gasoline. Now, remember that if your gasoline prices go up, virtually everything else has to go up. Because how do you get your products to the store? A truck. And the truck has to use gasoline to get to the store. And the truck has to pay for the gasoline. And if the gasoline costs more to get the truck to the store, they raise the price of the product in the truck.
Well, now, Paul.
Well.
Don't you know that wouldn't you pay a couple of pennies more for gas, yeah, knowing you're saving the planet from that pipeline?
Exactly. You know who used to say, and we'll only be spending a couple of pennies more, is that Indian that ran for the Democratic nomination from Massachusetts. She kept saying that, you know, and she was going to spend like trillions of dollars, but she put it in a way that it's only going to be 10 cents. Yeah. Remember that?
Just cost every American 10 cents.
Exactly. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. And inflation, we will find out if you will rear your head. It is time, however, for our top 10. And on Friday, Ed, as you know, we did the top 10 states where you will live the longest. Do you remember what the number one state was? Can you remember?
The state gosh.
West. It's way out west.
Yeah.
Way, way out west.
Yeah.
Come on.
You got a better chance to ask me what we'll
down for
breakfast.
Palm trees.
Oh, Hawaii.
Yes, right. Yes. Okay. So, okay. All right. Let's see if you are as equally successful in coming up with the number one state where you will live the shortest.
Okay.
The shortest. Here we go. Number 10. And why it's 10, I don't know, because I can't see any reason why. But Missouri is 10th most, or whatever it is, for living the shortest. Now, why is it? What's in Missouri that's... The Ozarks are in Missouri. You got Kansas City and St. Louis. I mean, I never understood that. All right, number 9.
Oh, hey. I have my drums.
Oh, you dropped your drums. He picked up his drums. Sick. He picked up his drum. Number 9 is South Carolina. Now, does one think that we're going to have a lot of southern states where you live short lives? Do you think?
You know.
I know, because I'm reading it.
Yeah, but. I know, but if you look at, like, North Carolina thing, what's the big difference between North Carolina and South Carolina? I mean, North Carolina, a lot of people move in there. And Tennessee.
Well, I can tell you that actually North Carolina did not make the list of shortest states. So okay, for some reason, you live longer in North Carolina than you do
big deal? Right next
South
to each
Carolina.
A couple of minutes away.
Wow. Okay, number 8. Arkansas. Now, I'm thinking that standard of living is partly to blame, right?
Okay.
And in Arkansas, I always think of Arkansas hog and pigs, and maybe it's a lot of fatty foods. I don't know. I'm not sure. But Arkansas. Number 7. And I lived here as a little boy. Oklahoma. Now, why would Oklahoma have that issue? But it does. It's out there just north of Texas. And maybe too many tornadoes kill people. I don't know. Number 6. Louisiana. Well, I'm not surprised about Louisiana. Hmm. For some reason, it's a nice place to go to New Orleans and everything, but I've always thought of Louisiana as sort of a scary place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit. It's kind of sad.
Swamp.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. Number 5. And this one surprises me a bit. Tennessee.
Yeah, really? Wow.
What's wrong with Tennessee?
All that country living out there?
Yes. You got Nashville?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Nashville?
I mean, Nashville, a lot of people moving to Nashville.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. Do they die early because they move there?
I don't know.
Okay. Number 4, Kentucky. Kentucky.
Yes, that's strange.
We're kind of hovering around the southern states.
You'd think the big cities would have, you know...
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, there aren't as many people that live in these particular areas, and I don't know. You know, more people die in a big city like New York or something than in Tennessee, but you got more people out over there, too. All right, number 3. And I lived here, too, Alabama. I mean, these are nice states from my standpoint, but something's going on. I don't know. It must be their food supply. I don't know what it is. Number 2, Mississippi. I'm not surprised.
Well, okay.
You know, Mississippi's got the same thing. Now, they are supposedly our poorest state. All right, Ed. What do you think's number 1?
Let's go with, how about Georgia?
Georgia, all right. Actually, that's a good guess. But it's West Virginia.
Mm.
They got the coal mines, they got this and that.
Right.
And their average lifespan there, 74.4 years. As an example, in Hawaii, the average age is 81.
Wow.
7 years difference. Yeah. All right. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, freedom works.
I believe in miracles. Way from you sex a thing.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kaif, and FEMA is getting involved now at the southern border as the Biden administration is now dealing with 4,200 unaccompanied children in the U.S. from Mexico. White House correspondent Weijia Jiang tells us many have apparently been held longer than they legally should be.
By law, these kids are supposed to be transferred out of short-term facilities within 72 hours, but lawyers for some of them tell CBS News that they were held for as long as 7 days, that they were hungry and never saw the sun.
Major airlines indicated today bookings are rising and first quarter revenue numbers won't be as bad as first thought. The TSA says more than 1.3 million people were screened at airports Friday and Sunday, best numbers since the start of the pandemic. This tourist in Fort Myers, Florida, says there's evidence a lot of people have been on the move.
You just can look at the beach and see how many people are here, that it's clear that tourism is back up.
There's resistance to the COVID-19 vaccines behind bars. CBS's Jim Krasula says it's coming from the guards.
Prison guards are refusing COVID-19 vaccines at alarming levels. Infection rates in prisons are more than four times as high as in the general public. A Florida correctional officer polled his colleagues in a private Facebook group about whether they'd get the vaccine if offered. More than half responded, quote, hell no.
Oscar nominations out this morning as we hear from CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Watch those stairs.
It was Mank for the most nominations of the day. 10, including Best Picture. Chadwick Boseman earned a posthumous